happens when God makes the change in your life. You know, we have a tendency to make our own changes. And you know, that way we sort of like, we discipline ourselves. How many of you know that you can discipline yourself to do almost anything? I mean, you know, if you have a filthy mouth, you can discipline yourself not to cuss. You know, if you have a bad habit, you can discipline yourself. But when God changes you, you don't have to think about it. You're a new creation. And God has changed you. You're not like having to discipline yourself any longer. Make sure I don't do this or make sure I do that, because you're a changed individual. So beginning with the first verse, and I love most of you that have been around me any length of time. If we get to talking, we're going to talk Bible. And if we talk Bible, we're going to wind up in the Old Testament. If we wind up in the Old Testament, which we will, we're going to wind up in the Torah. And then we're going to go back to creation. This is my favorite part of the Bible. I love the law of God, the teaching of Torah. But anyway, the Bible says in Genesis 21, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Father, we just love you so much, and ask that you'll just touch our hearts, minister to our spirits, open our minds, that we will be able to receive your word. And we just want to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at somebody and say, in the beginning. In the beginning, in the beginning, the beginning. Now see, beginning denotes time. It says this is where it starts. It denotes time. It is the beginning. It's the beginning of time. It's the beginning of man and the beginning of man's time. It's the beginning of the world as we know it today. And it's not only the creation story is a story of change. Everything began to change. God changed everything. He's a God of change. See, this was not the beginning of God. This is the beginning of man, the beginning of earth, the beginning of time. It's not the beginning of God, because God always has been. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. Talking about the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Okay, so in the beginning. See, this was this is the beginning as we know it. There's no other beginning mentioned in the Bible. See, I like to go to the law of first mention. See, when I read about the beginning in the Bible, I go back to when it was first mentioned, and I follow it through, and it's always the same. So this is the beginning. This is the only beginning mentioned. It was the beginning in Genesis 1:1. And it was the beginning in the New Testament in John. It was the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. It's the same beginning. There's no other beginning. The beginning was the beginning. Couldn't say that again, Nancy. But you see that in the beginning is talking, is denoting a time. And God's not limited by time, and he's not surveyed by time, and he doesn't operate on time, even though sometimes I think he forgets time and kind of forgets that we are on time, but he's always on time. Amen. He's the one that when he brings it around, it's just right. So this is the beginning of time. It's not the beginning of God. What it is, it's the beginning of God manifesting himself to mankind. It's the beginning of God manifest. He was already here. Man wasn't. He was. He was everywhere. And so he was in that mass hurling through space. He was already there. He was there, and man wasn't nobody else there, but God was already there. He had always been there, and he's everywhere else. You know what I love to think? I was sharing with Susan this morning. I said, you know what's so amazing to me? God was here before he is here. God was here before he's here. And guess what? He'll be here when he's not here any longer. I mean, he came in the form of a man. He left, but he's still here. Hey, that'll mess up your head, won't it? So God, and when we talk about the beginning, it's this beginning of things. It's not the beginning of God, because God's always been here. The Bible says that the earth was without form. It was void. It was formless. It was just a mass of water hurling through space until the Spirit of God moved on it. Until. See, watch this, church. If you read it from the old Hebrew writings, you will find that they say it was a mass of salt water hurling through space. And so we know that everything come, God created everything out of that mass of water. Are y'all there with me? Everything that you see today at once was water. How many of you ever really done some labor or play or whatever you're doing, and you sweated, and the sweat run down off of your brow down into and went into your mouth? What did it taste like? Salt. Salt. And so they feel like that everything, including man, came from salt water. Salt water. That's the reason you have saline solution. You have this salt water. We all come from everything you see at one time was water. It was fluid, and it was hurling through space. It had no form. It was darkness, and it was void. It had no purpose. It didn't even have a future. It was just forever hurling. And we don't know how long it hurled through space, but we know that God created it from the beginning. Now, don't make me preach this too hard. God created that mass of water, whether it be salt water or fresh water or brackish, I don't care. He created it in the beginning, and one day he just hurled that thing through space, and it just kept moving, and him and the Son and the Spirit was talking one day, and Jesus said, "Hey, what's that?" He said, "That's just a mass of water hurling through space." He said, "Well, what's it good for?" "Nothing." "Well, where did it come from?" "I made it." "Well, why did you make it?" "For such a time as this." Thank you. "For such a time as this. I made it where I can catch it one day." Holy Spirit, go. I want you to hover. I want you to begin to form something out of nothing. How many of you know God likes to take nothing and make something out of it? Oh, that's where I see my life. I see my life as being void and without form and darkness and just hurling here and there. I can remember when I had no purpose in life. I thought that I did, but I really didn't. I just accepted whatever came and said, "Well, I'll just work with it the best I can and make all the money I can and have all the fun I can and go with all the girls I can and do all of this stuff." But can I tell you something? I realized that this stuff had to change. I could not exist like that. Right. And so God began to form me. He sent the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that you cannot receive Jesus as your Savior unless the Spirit draws you? Yeah. That's what the Word says. So you got to have the Spirit draw you. You can't just say, "I think it's my time." No, God has to draw you. God has to draw you with His Holy Spirit. And not only does He have to draw you, but you've got to respond. So you do have a part in it, so you got to respond. And so the Holy Spirit began to form me into something I didn't realize. Listen, I can remember, and a lot of people can. I can remember the day the very day of the week and the day of the month and year that I was saved. I can remember the time. I can tell you where I was. And I was not in a church. I had just left the bar. Amen. Jet, was you with me? No. I had just left this bar. And I went back to my office. And I went into my office and I had felt differently. I knew I had to leave that bar because I looked up in the mirror and I said, that is not me. There was a mirror behind the bar and I said, that's not me. I don't know who that guy is. He looks a lot like me. But that's not me. I have no business here. And I got up and I went to my office and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. Can I tell you, I was raised in a bar. My daddy owned a bar. We were bar children. We were bar people. That's all I ever knew. I know this. Some of you may not like that, but I can't help it. And you'll see later on in this message where that's helped form me into what I am today. That's the reason all you drunks have somebody to come talk to. See, but what I want you to see is. When the Lord started dealing with me and I had no one to lead me, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know anything about a sinner's prayer. I didn't know anything about the Genesis. I didn't know anything about Noah's Ark, and I didn't know anything about the opening of the Red Sea and all that stuff. Man, I was totally lost. I didn't know, but I knew that there was a someone bigger than me. I knew there was a God. And I remember crying and praying. And I said, God, if you are really real, and if you are really God, whatever I need to do, show me. And I'll do it. I don't want to die and go to hell. And I don't want to spend another night in a lonely bar room. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. All I need to do is get some instruction from you. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, nothing. Don't do nothing because you'll do the wrong thing. He said, I know your heart, and before you say another word, I've got a plan for you. Oh, that's great, God. What is it? I can't tell you because if you do, you'll mess it up. All I want you to do is do nothing and wait for me and get in that word. And just listen. He said, you know my voice now. Just listen. Just listen. Are y'all with me? See, he began to form me. He began to make me. And the formation had to start somewhere. And he began to form me. And he and that darkness, he and we're going to see in just a moment how that he divided me. How many of you know we serve a dividing God? Oh, he divided. And then we serve a multiplying God. Yeah. So we serve a dividing God. We serve a multiplying God. And then we serve a subtracting God. I wish I had time to preach on. We serve a subtracting God because there's some things in your life and some things in my life God had to subtract. Because if you don't allow him to come in and do a little mathematics in you, I like to call it theomatics. God's numbers. Theomatics. And let him do a little mathematics in you. Let him subtract those things that he needs to subtract from your life and add to those things he needs to add to them and multiply you in riches and in all peace and in joy. Oh, I tell you, he's a multiplying God. And then he needs to divide you. He needs to separate you from certain things. He needs to divide you. And we're going to see here in the Genesis where that's how it all started. This is a story of change. Everything that God created was already here. Everything he created was already here. He just began to divide. He began to take away. This thing, when it first started, had no structure to it. It had no purpose to it. It was just like me. It had no future. It was just a dark, formless mass speeding through eternity. Until. Look at somebody say, until. All right, now y'all work with me on this because I'm not going to be up here long today. It's hot up here. Until the Spirit of God moved on it. Listen to me. I can see it in my life. You can see it in your life. What we need is a move of God. I can tell you, I was praying. I pray every week. And as Pastor Ron had mentioned, I shared with him and some of the others. I said, you know, I have been praying that God will just give us a hungry church. A hungry church. I'd like to have a church that's hungry for the word. Be like John. Just nourish off of it. I'd like to see us be hungry after souls. I'd like to see us be hungry. We need to be hungry. We need to be hungry. We need to be like a team that hadn't won in several weeks and they're hungry for a win. That's a team that's going to get out and fight. Are y'all with me? We got to get hungry. We've been fat and lazy long enough. Spiritually, I'm talking about. We've been fat and lazy long enough. We need to begin to get hungry for God, and we need to get out and begin to do what God's called us to do. And we can't do that until we're hungry for God. You know, when you get hungry for God, you're going to want to know more about Him. When you get hungry for God, you're going to want to study His Word. When you get hungry for God, you're going to want to do those things that God's asked you and told you to do, that you know to do. Oh, I'm telling you, we got to get hungry for God, and we're going to continue being the same old way that we've always been. We're just going to be hurling through eternity. Same, no form, no structure, no future, just hurling through space, through eternity, until the Spirit of God moved upon it. I'm telling you, church, sometimes it just takes a move of God in your life and just shake you good. How many of you ever had something happen and it just shook you? Come on, preach to me. I'm telling you. I can remember one afternoon I was in my church. And, well, I just left the church, but I was at the church just doing what I was supposed to be doing. This is some 30 years ago. And my daughter was involved in a terrible accident. I mean, they pronounced her dead 3 times in 2 weeks. And listen, when they come to me and told me, and I went, took off down the road where she was, and I saw the car and everything. And when I saw that, it shook me. I mean, I couldn't even hold myself. It shook me. I was shook. I remember being angry, and I remember being frustrated. I wanted to be angry at her, but I couldn't be angry at her. I wanted to be, and finally I decided the best thing for me to do is just be angry with God because He did this. You know, here I am in the pulpit preaching your word, telling how wonderful you are and how great you are and how you protect us. Now I've got to explain to them why my baby's laying up. So you begin to get angry. But God shook me enough. I had been pastoring for several years, and God shook me enough that I began to look at the results. Where's this thing leading? God, you had a purpose for this. I know you that well. Forgive me. Lord, I believe, but forgive me of my unbelief. I know that you have a purpose in everything that you do, and all things work together for the good to them that love you and are called according to your prayer. And I don't care what comes or goes. You're still God, and you're omnipotent, and you're everywhere present. And I do know this, God. You are still in charge, and you are the one that divided the sea, and you are the one that slung that sun and moon up into the air and told it to stay there. And I believe if you could do that, you've got everything else under control. Forgive me for even doubting you, but what do I do next? Yeah. See, I had to have some direction in my life. That's the problem with people that are not saved. They have no direction. We got to have some direction in our lives. We'll continue to do what we've always done until we get some direction in our life. I don't know about you, but if there's any one thing that we need in the church today, it's direction. I'd love for somebody to tell me, hey, here is where we're going. This is where I want you to go. This is where I want you to take those people. This is what I want you to teach them. I need some direction. I need for God to speak directly to us. I know your voice, God, speak. Your servant is listening, God. I just want to hear from you. I want to know what you want me. Give me some direction and we will overcome the powers of hell, and nothing by any means shall overcome us. I believe it. God wants you and I to live victoriously in the power of his word. Order. We need direction. We need order in our lives. Listen, how many of you know that from the very beginning, God always had a way of moving on things? He had a way. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He divided it. Listen, I look back over and I went through some of my old notes. Matter of fact, if you ever want a good laugh, I'll let you have some of those old tapes, not CDs, tapes, cassettes. Anybody know what that is? I'll let you have some of those that I preached back in the day in the 70s and early 80s. They're treasures. They're worth more to me than anybody else. I'd pay anything to get those off the market. But if you needed a good laugh, I thought, I can't believe I preached that stuff. But I don't know how many times that I've preached about light and darkness cannot dwell together. I don't know how many times I preached. Darkness and light cannot dwell together. But we do know that one time it did. Because God divided the light from the dark. And until he divided it, it dwelt together. How many of you know where Satan's first home was? Hello, somebody tell me. I don't know. Make out like a heaven. That's right. Thank you. He lived in heaven. So darkness, even back then, dwelt in light. Are y'all there? Watch this. How many of you know that darkness and light, darkness represents evil, light represents good? How many of you know that darkness and light dwells in you and in me? It dwells in us. That's the reason good people can do bad things. And bad people can do good things. Because we have goodness and bad. We have good and bad. We have darkness and light within us. And it's ever how we want to respond to that temptation. Come on, I know. You got to see it is in you, and what you can't do is give in to it. If you would just recognize the fact that when something bad comes into your mind, into you, it comes out of your spirit. And that's the enemy trying to trick you. He's trying to steal your future. He's trying to take away what God's trying to give you. Listen, you don't have the best yet. You don't have the best that you can have yet. How many of you know that? What does the Bible say? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor can the mind comprehend the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Are y'all there with me, church? I got to tell you this. I don't know, but it's going to get better. Somebody said to me this past week, said, you know, life is better than it's ever been. And said, I don't ever want it to change. I said, yes, you do. Because it's going to get better. I want it to be better. I want it to be better. I want it to be better. I mean, even in those traditional wedding ceremonies, I never say richer or poor, sickness or health. I don't say that mess. I say richer or richer, more richer. And in health and in more health. Listen, I'm telling you, God wants to, beloved, 3 James, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. 3 John 2. You gotta see that God wants us to live that way, and we can find it in his word if we will allow his Holy Spirit to form us in a way that we can receive his word. Listen, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light was good, and he divided it from the darkness. Now, it took a move of God, the hovering and the molding of the Holy Spirit to do this. It took a move of God, as the same as it takes a move of God in your life and in my life to make us different people. You cannot change yourself. Can a leper change his spots? No, you can't change yourself, but God can change you. God can make the change in your life. It took a move of God to separate the light from the dark. And when God moves on something, it becomes a change. There has to be a change. And when God changes things, it makes everything work together. That's the reason Paul could write and say, all things work together for the good to... See, are y'all there with me? See, when God begins to change, people begin to work together. You may tell you how you can tell if a church is really accepted Jesus and is a changed church, if they're working together. A family that prays together stays together. Church that works together stays together. We see that this change. Only God can bring together a change that would make everything work for the good. See, watch this, church. Watch this. When God moves in your life, change will come. When God moves in your life, change will come. Now watch this. It'll be a permanent change. God's not a temporary God. God's a permanent God. Listen, you go back in that word, when God says something, it's forever. It's not just for a while. It's not for a season, unless he says it's going to be just exactly like he says it. But God does things permanently. I need some permanent change in my life. How about you? Come on, church. Every one of you do. You know you do. You can sit there and be righteous if you want to, but you need change in your life. There's areas in your life you need change, and you don't need a temporary change. You need a permanent change. You need for God to move in your life, and the power of his love overcome every obstacle, every circumstance, and every situation that you're having to face. We need a permanent change. God separated the light from the dark. Guess what? It's still separated. I don't think y'all got that. It's still separated. It's still separated. Listen, you can go into a totally dark room and just light a match or flip a flip or whatever you do, a bit. I don't know what they call them. But anyway, just one spark of light changes everything. It's no longer dark. How many of you know it's either dark or it's light? It's one of the other. And it's still separated today. God separated it one time, and it's still separate. God is permanent. Look at somebody and say, God's permanent. And if you've had a move of God in your life, it's permanent. If you've had a move of God in your life, it's permanent. Listen, I was talking with someone a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me what a tremendous change they've had in their spiritual change they've had in their life. And I'm looking at them, and the next thing, what I hear is not words of change. And then what I see is not things of change. And I just ask a simple question. If there's been such a change in your life, why are you acting like you did before the change? You don't have to tell someone there's been a change in your life. Come on, church. You don't have to go around telling people. They see it. Listen, when I got saved, even my dog was glad I got saved. I'm serious, and I mean that dog. I know he was psychotic, but I probably made him that way, you know. And he didn't know when I'd get to drinking. If I got out of the truck, I'd either gonna kick him or cuss him or pet him. He didn't know. But then he's all of a sudden, you know, I get out of the truck and he'd duck like that. But then he got to when I opened the truck door, he'd run straight to me. Are y'all there with me? I didn't have to get out and say, "Hey, pug, I've changed." I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to tell folks you've changed. They'll see the change. God will see it. And it was changed. When God makes a change, it's a change for forever. See, what you got to do is you've got to believe in the move of God in your life. You've got to believe in it. You've got to believe it, and you've got to accept it. You've got to receive it. Listen, good or bad, if it comes to you, you've got to receive it. If you don't receive it, you don't have it. I can give you a gift, but if you don't receive that gift, you really don't have a gift. Are y'all there with me? Listen, I'm not getting on anybody. I don't want anybody to take anything out of this except exactly what I say. And that's this. When Eve came to Adam bearing the fruit of the tree of good and evil, he had to receive it. He had to receive it. Paul said about his thorn in the side. He said, a disciple of Satan. A disciple of Satan came to me and tempted me, and I did receive it. And you said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what that tells me? Even when we do wrong, God's grace is sufficient. When we do wrong knowingly, God's grace is sufficient. Look at somebody and say, God's grace is sufficient. Okay, all right, you did wrong. You know you did wrong, and you did it more than one time. God's grace is still sufficient. Thank you. God's grace is sufficient, and you'll be able to overcome it. Listen, all we need is a change. We need for God to come in and make a change in our life. Now, when we talk about change, I'm going to get ready to get out of here. We talk about change. Mr. Webster says this: change means to become different, to alter, to transform, or to convert. And I look at that, and you know what? That's exactly the way I describe a Christian. Identical. There's conversion. You've been altered. You've been changed. You're different. Now, when we talk about change, once something has changed, according to Mr. Webster or anybody else, once it's changed, it cannot go back to its original state. Y'all get this. This is good stuff here now. Once something changes, it can go back to its original. It cannot go back to its original state, or it can't go. They can't go back to who they were. I always told my daughter, I said, "Baby, save yourself for marriage. Don't you let some fast talking." Now I won't say what I thought, but don't you let somebody come talk you out of yourself. Because if you give yourself away, you can never be a virgin again. You can't go back. You're changed. You got to recognize that you'll never be the same. You got to be careful about what you experience, because that experience is going to change you for the rest of your natural life. You cannot go back. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31? He said, we're going to have to die to the flesh. We're going to have to kill the flesh. I love the way those Hebrews wrote. You got to murder it. How many of you know there's a difference? I got to get out of here. There's a difference between killing and murdering. Killing is an act of your hand. Military, if you're under orders, that's killing. Murder is an act of the heart. It's a heart issue. And Paul said, you got to have a changed heart. You got to murder that thing. You got to get rid of it. You got to hate it. See, murder comes from hatred. You got to hate sin. I know it's hard for us to understand that, but we got to realize we got to despise sinning. We can't. If you don't, it'll keep slipping back up, and you'll keep doing the very same things that you hate that you did do. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's still talking in response to a letter they wrote him. And he said, and he's talking to the church about them fighting spiritual battles every day. And in the church, he said, I have a thorn, this thorn in my flesh. And you kept saying that your grace is sufficient for me. I don't care what happens to you in life. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how bad you've acted. God's grace is sufficient. Let me tell you something. God's got the only eraser that counts. Amen. Thank you. God's got the only eraser that counts. I love this. You know, I don't know why we've been taught all of our lives that God has a pencil this long. And the lead on it is that long. And then he's got an eraser on it that big around. And he keeps writing our name in the book of life, and then he erases it out. Then he writes it again, then he erases it out. I like to put it this way. You'll like this, sister. God has two pencils. One of them only has a lead in it. The other one only has an eraser on it. I love that, don't you? That's cool. And so you recognize that here we are when we need a change, and we got to realize that God's grace is sufficient, and it will erase anything that we've ever done. Acts 3, when the man at the gate of the temple came in contact with Peter and John, he was changed. He was there looking for one thing. But he got another. We know the story. He was there, you know, looking for alms, looking for somebody to give him something. And Peter spoke up and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Y'all remember that story? He had an experience. And listen, what did this man do? You got it. He jumped up from there and he started leaping and jumping, and he leaped and he jumped, praising God, going straight into the temple. Here's a man that has such a change in his life that you could take away the experience that he had, but you couldn't take away the change he had. Come on, sir. You could take away his experience. You remember those good experiences with the Lord. Somebody may say something or do something and take those away, but they cannot take away your change. You're still changed. This guy had never walked. He was crippled. He was lame. He was crippled. And he had never walked. But guess what? He could never go back to that. You know why? Because he had walked. Before then, he was a cripple that had never walked. You can't take away the change. The change, oh, I'm telling you, the devil's a lie. Listen, we need to get on that holy boldness Paul talked about. And we need to start telling people, listen, you can take away everything I got, but you can't take away my change. God's done come into my heart. God's come into my life. God's come into my spirit. And I'm a changed individual. You take everything I got. You can take everything I want to have, but you cannot take away my change. God's given me that, and you cannot take it away from me. Stand up with me, church. You know, the Bible tells us that Peter and John went up together to pray. And they come across this guy. This guy had never experienced what he was about to experience that day. But you know what I love about this man? He might have been expecting the wrong thing. He was expecting. Yeah. Are y'all there with that? He was still expecting. You know what? I found that if you don't expect anything, you probably won't get anything. I'm going to be expecting something. I'm going to be expecting something. I may not get that, but I'm going to be expecting something. Oh, God, you didn't bring me this far. You remember Samson? You didn't bring me this far that I'd die out here in the middle of this desert. I mean, you just give me the power to take the jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000. I almost said something else, didn't I? But you realize that you didn't bring me this far that I can lay here and die. There's been a change in me. There's been a change in me. I got a change in me. Nobody else may have a change this morning, but I come expecting a change. And even if I came not expecting a change, you're God enough to give me the change. And I believe that I'm going to receive right now the change. I want the change that you have prepared for me through the working of your Holy Spirit. And I'm looking for a change. I want a change in my life. And I'm believing for it. And I'm going to receive it. A change. It's that experience. I want to experience something. I want to experience something that someone may stop the experience, but they can't stop the change that the experience brought. Yeah. I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you going to be the one sitting around wringing your hands, saying, I wish I had? Are you going to be the one that says, I'm expecting God to do something in my life? And I may not get what I want, but I know that I'll get something. And whatever I get may be better than what I wanted. You got to have change. I'm just expecting God. I'm expecting God to do something this morning. If you would with me say, God, I'm expecting you to do something. I want to change in my life. And I'm expecting you, Father, to bring me an experience this morning that I'll know it's you. I'll know it's you. You know, there's people all over this building, and I know there is, just like myself, that needs a change. There was 120 people gathered in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem, right over the burial place of King David. Still there today. 120 people gathered in an upper room to pray. And the Bible says that they prayed and nothing happened, and they prayed and nothing happened. And then the 10th day, there came an experience that would change the world. 120 people didn't know what they were expecting. They were just expecting something. And it changed the whole world. The world's never been the same again. The Holy Spirit took residence. Oh my God, have mercy. The Holy Spirit took residence. I don't know about you, but I just opened the door of my spirit, opened the door of my heart. And I say, Holy Spirit, come in and dwell here. Come in this house. Come in this house and dwell here with me. I need you. I need a change. And only you can bring about that change that I need. I would this morning that God has taken the words that He gave me. And you've heard the words that would take you into a life-changing experience that would make everything in your life different. That God will begin to use you like He's never used you. you will begin to speak those things that are not as though they already were, and know that He is God. I believe that God would like to see that change in His church. If you're one of those people and you would like for God to move in your life, I want you to come now. I want you to just move in the Holy Spirit of God and come. And come to this front. We want to pray with you, and we're going to believe with you. That's it. Just come right now. You don't have to wait. Just come. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with people up here that wants to pray. And we want to pray with you. And I want you to come believing for a miracle in your life, for a change in your life, for an experience that will cause you to be greater than you were when you walked in here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you and I praise you. And I thank you for all those things that you've given us, and all the things you've done, and the things that you've changed for us. We praise you for those. And Lord, I ask you to just minister to the people here. And Lord, let them be able to receive the experience that you've prepared for them. And we give you honor, give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray, I want you to come and let us pray with you. If not, I dismiss you. You can go. Don't forget about our ladies' service. It's going to meet right in here in the sanctuary. As soon as service is over, the men are going to be two doors down. The children are going to be in between. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning.